Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. It is 7 on the East Coast, a little bit after 7 on the East Coast. It is April 4th, not God Almighty, 28. I'm bugging. 4/28/20. I'm bugging. Last Tuesday of the month, you are listening to a live broadcast of the Antkinny Experience. I'm your host. And we've got a few things to talk about until about 8:30. This is actually a new format that I'm going to use to see how this works. Last week did some music. I'm going to do music every now and again because I think all the crap that's going on right now, you know, talking about serious stuff all the time kind of gets a little depressing. So every now and again I'll throw in some music stuff or something different. I think that'd be good instead of just serious stuff all the time. Usually do one topic per show and then talk about that and then, you know, see how that works. Tonight we're going to try something new, do a little kind of like a little news thing and see how that works. And then we'll go from there. So I had to go through the news last week and pick out some interesting things, or try to be interesting things that would be interesting to talk about. So it's kind of hard to do because there was a whole lot of stuff went on last week. Like there's a whole lot of stuff going on now, but then just a lot of crazy. I mean, just off the wall stuff. And I think it's like this because we've never gone through anything like this before. So we're trying to figure out how this works, how this is going to work. Nobody knows. So we just got to get through it and carry on and, you know, see what goes. If you want to call in tonight, the phone number here is 563-999-3682. 563-999-3682. And like I said, I had to go through the news, go through the things that happened last week and just try to pick some interesting topics to talk about, which was, like I said, kind of hard to do. But then again, it wasn't that hard to do because there's all kinds of stuff going on. Let me see. Okay. Yeah, we've got all kinds of stuff happening. That is just, you know, it's kind of hard to keep up with everything that's happening. Here in North Carolina, for the past two Tuesdays, we've had marches downtown, people marching to go back to work. These are the same people that I would not listen to for any kind of medical advice. My thing is, if I'm going to get medical advice, I'm going to talk to medical people. It's kind of like when my car messes up, I don't take it to a plumber. I take it to a car mechanic. And, you know, I understand what people are going through. I am an essential worker. So that means I've been working ever since this stuff has been going on. The only days I've had off are my scheduled days off. I hadn't had any time off. I hadn't had off or anything like that. Even though the company that I work for, they've been pretty much furloughed for months. The schools are still out. There are some places that are open, businesses. The restaurants are still closed for dine-in, but you can take out and drive through and all that kind of stuff. Grocery stores are still open. So, I just try when I'm off, we're not doing a whole lot of anything. I try to stay in the house, stay away from sick people. I have a mask that I wear, but I leave that in the car. Don't have gloves. I wash my hands a lot. So, you know, I try to do my part. I'd like to spend more time with my grandkids, but I don't because I don't want to, I don't want to be the one that gets them sick, so I see them every now and again. you know, because the last thing I want to happen is for them to get sick. So, you know, I usually call them and talk to them, you know, video and all that kind of stuff. So that's good. That's good because I don't want to pass this on to other people, especially them. So, you know, the thing that's going to be kind of strange about when all of this is said and done is how do we go back to normal? You know, I'm trying to remember the day before all the shit hit the fan when everything went sideways. You know, I guess the normal. What was the normal before everything happened? I don't think we're going to ever get to normal again. I think there's going to be, you know, I know that stuff that happens after this is going to be a whole lot different than what it was before. A whole lot. But like I said, we had a march today again, coming to find out that one of the people that were in charge of the march ended up getting, said she might have gotten sick. And that was my thing when they announced this stuff a couple of weeks ago. You know, they're all downtown Raleigh. They're all wandering around, no mask, not 6 feet apart from each other, just wandering around, blabbing, talking stupid stuff. And, you know, the jackpot thing about that is, you know, if they get sick, who are they going to blame for it? If you decided to go to that march, and you decided to walk around without a mask, and you decided to do all this other stupid, simple shit, and you get sick, that's on you. You can't blame nobody else but you. But people like that always want to blame somebody else or something else. It's the stupid shit that they do. Nobody's making you go downtown. Nobody's making you march. You put that on yourself. So don't complain whenever you get sick. Because this stuff is catching. It's contagious. You can catch this from somebody else and end up getting sick. I mean, how easy, you know, you can't make it any easier than that. And so they're out there marching to get back to work. You know, that, like I said, I would rather listen to medical experts. Because there is a thing that they're trying to rush back into this too fast, and then we go right back to square one. And then we're right back to where we used to be. And then, you know, we're right back to everything being locked down until the end of the year. You know. But, you know, Americans are special. We're special. I mean, it's like those people that were downtown marching are probably the same people that anytime anybody else decides to march, they have issues with those people marching, but they think it's okay for them to go march and block traffic and all that other kind of crap. The hypocrisy is just amazing to me sometimes. It's just, you know, you can't do this, but I can do it. You know, I can do whatever I want to do because, you know, so the doctors are saying, you know, right now it's probably a good idea to stay away from each other so you don't pass the sickness off. Nah, that ain't good enough. That ain't good enough. We want to do so-and-so. We want to do, you know, and it's all right and blah, 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 yakety yak and all that bullshit. Nobody wants to hear all that mess. So it's kind of, you know, or, you know, you're sitting there, you're blabbing about one thing and then you sit there and you get sick yourself. It's just, you know, stupid. It's just out and out. It makes no sense. So you got some states opening up early. The one in California, the one in Georgia is just amazing to me. You know, you can open up beauty salons and bowling alleys, but you can't open up the governor's mansion. You can open up these other places, but there's some places you still can't open yet. You know, now we still have places around here that aren't open yet. But you know, my thing is, I'd rather just wait for this mess to go by, and then continue to, you know, try to pick up back to normal. instead of just opening this stuff up now because, you know, people are whining about getting out of the house, and then we go right back to this mess all over again. Reports now saying that the wintertime, we may get another spike in this mess. But it's just, you know, Americans are a lot of things. Sometimes, you know, a lot of them lack a whole bunch of common sense. It's just simple common sense, you know. If they say there's and I hate snakes, but if they say there's a shitload of snakes downtown, you want to go see them? Hell no. But there always be those people that be like, yeah, I want to go see it. You know, you always have people like that. But nah, I'll listen to experts because that's why they're experts. At least they know what they're talking about. And then to segue from experts, there's a whole bunch of conspiracy bullshit out now. It's just all over the place. It's straight up, you know. I think a lot of this crap comes up because people have extra time on their hands and they have nothing else to do, so they just make up stories and then, you know, try their damnedest to get you to believe them. And then when you don't believe them, then they get mad at you because you don't believe the bullshit. Nah, I'm good. I don't need to hear all that yakety yak. You know, if you can't prove it, then I'm, you know, no, I don't need to hear it. Because it's easy to just make up all kinds of shit because you got nothing else to do. Nah, I like facts. I like proof. And if you've got no proof and you've got no facts, then, you know, there's nothing you can tell me. Not a thing. But, you know, people would rather believe conspiracy theories because it's easy to believe. You know, it doesn't take a whole lot of work to believe something that, you know, like you can easily disprove, but people like that. You know, not the biggest one I've seen is now they got Bill Gates. Now all of a sudden is trying to shoot people up with vaccines and all this other kind of bullshit and blah blah. You know. All it takes is just something real simple. Just go look this shit up. You know, and it's easy now. Because back in my day, you know, we had to go to the actual library, an actual building, and read actual books, and go to an actual card catalog, and either look up the subject by title, by author, or by subject. We have an internet that anything you can think of, all you got to do is just plug it in, and boom, you got it. It's right there in front of you. It's right in your face. Looking at you right there in your face. So let me get ready to get into this because I've only got a certain amount of time to do the show because I am one of those essential workers. That means I have to work. Like I said, I've been working ever since this stuff has been going on, so I have to work. So I try to get the show done on time so I can get ready to head on out of here. So what we're going to do, I think what I'll do is I'll just go through the stories and play the clips, and then if there's time at the end, we'll just go through a little discussion or whatever, answer questions or whatever, and then we'll just kill the time like that. That way I won't run out of time and because I have to make about an hour and a half drive to work, which is no big deal. And I'm glad to be an essential worker. So, I mean, I'm not complaining about that. But yeah, we want to get everything done and get the show on the road. So yeah, like I said, this is probably going to be a new thing. We're going to see how this works. And then I may just go back to you know, doing one topic per show, or however, you know, we'll work it out. So we'll see how this works. Next week I'll be back with 5 more. So I'm trying to go around and trying to spread it around to different things. So let me find the right thing. All right. So hit my music. All right, so that's news. I guess that's the old news stuff they used to use back in the day. So the first thing we're going to talk about, first clip I'm going to play, and you probably heard this last week, where your president, who was not the sharpest man around, and we all know that, brought up some asinine story about shooting disinfectants in people's bodies and UV lights and all this other kind of stuff. And when he said it, he was serious. And then a couple of days later, come back and say that he wasn't serious. And then what did his fans do? His fans came back and said, oh, yeah, he wasn't serious. You know, it's funny to me how people have to have other people decipher to other people what they said. We know what he said. We saw the video. It's on videotape. It's been recorded, exactly what he said. And while he was saying it, he was talking to the doctor who was sitting to the side of him. Now, he may have thought it was fake, and his supporters may have thought it was fake, but it didn't sound fake when he was actually talking about it. So we had a few days of laughs on that. I dug at him a few times myself. And his supporters, as usual, got their panties wound up in their asses and got all bent out of shape and blah, 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 and all the other. He knows what he said. And his supporters are funny to me because they will defend his ass to the very end. To the very end. But the people that oppose him, you know, we're the ones with the problem. No, it's not us with the problem. It's him with the problem because he needs to think before he opens up his mouth. Because you're not going to shoot me full of bleach and then stick a UV lamp up my ass to cure me of some disease because he thinks that's a good idea. But I digress. Let's go to the audio.
Can you clarify your comments about injections of disinfectant? They're quite provocative.
No, I was asking a question sarcastically to reporters like you just to see what would happen. Now, disinfectant for doing this maybe on the hands would work, and I was asking the question of the gentleman who was there yesterday, Bill, because when they say that something will last 3 or 4 hours or 6 hours, but if the sun is out or if they use disinfectant, it goes away in less than a minute. Did you hear about this yesterday? But I was asking a sarcastic and a very sarcastic question to the reporters in the room about disinfectant on the inside. But it does kill it, and it would kill it on the hands, and that would make things much better. That was done in the form of a sarcastic question to the reporters.
But you were asking your medical experts to look into it. Were you being sarcastic with them?
To look into whether or not sun and disinfectant on the hands, but whether or not sun can help us. Because, I mean, he came in yesterday and he said they've done a big study. This is a study. This isn't where he hasn't done it. This is where they've come in with a final report. That sun has a massive impact negatively on this virus. In other words, it does not live well with humidity, and it doesn't live well with sunlight, heat. It doesn't live well with heat and sun and disinfectant. And that's what I brought out, and I thought it was clear. Maybe there is something to light and the human body and helping people that are dying. Okay.
But just to clarify that, sir, are you encouraging Americans? You're not encouraging Americans to.
No, of course. No, of course. That was interior wise. It said sarcastically. It was put in the form of a question to a group of extraordinarily hostile people. namely the fake news media. Okay.
Some doctors thought they needed to clarify that after your
Well, of course. All they had to do was see it was just, you know, the way it was asked. I was looking at you. I know.
You're looking at Dr. Burke.
What's that?
You were looking at Dr. Burke.
I was looking at Bill. I was looking at the doctor. I was looking at some of the reporters. I don't know if you were there. Were you there? I don't think you were there.
I was there, and I watched you ask her.
No, not you. You were there. You, if you're there, I never forget. You were.
I wasn't there yet.
You were not.
No, sir.
Yeah, I didn't think you were there. Okay.
Mr. President, I know that you continue to say you absolutely.
Okay, hold it 1 second. Any other questions from any other people? Okay, thank you very much.
And there it is. Less than 1 day after promoting, quote, injecting disinfectant as a possible treatment for coronavirus, Trump is pretending that he did no such thing, instead claiming that he was just being very sarcastic and that this very sarcastic statement was directed at the reporters. Only the thing about being sarcastic is that it involves you actually being sarcastic. Now, to be clear, the reason that I and the rest of the country know that he wasn't being sarcastic is because we know what sarcasm is, and this isn't it.
We hit the body with a tremendous, whether it's ultraviolet or just very powerful light, and I think you said that hasn't been checked, but you're going to test it. And then I said, supposing you brought the light inside the body, which you can do either through the skin or in some other way. And I think you said you're going to test that, too. Sounds interesting.
We'll get the right folks who could.
Right, and then I see the disinfectant, where it knocks it out in a minute, 1 minute. And is there a way we can do something like that by injection inside or almost a cleaning? Because you see it gets on the lungs, and it does a tremendous number in the lungs. So it'd be interesting to check that. So that you're going to have to use medical doctors with. But it sounds interesting to me.
By the way, not only was he not talking to reporters, but the medical professional literally responded to him.
Deborah, have you ever heard of that? The heat and the light relative to certain viruses, yes, but relative to this virus?
That is a treatment. I mean, certainly fever is a good thing when you have a fever. It helps your body respond. But not as I've not seen heat or light.
I think it's a great thing to look at. I mean, yeah. Okay.
So when Trump claims that this super sarcastic statement was directed at reporters, that claim is undercut by the video evidence showing that he was being earnest and speaking directly to an immunologist who then responded to him. Also, generally when people are being sarcastic, it isn't followed by a major disinfectant manufacturer having to come out with a warning not to ingest their products. And yet that's what happened here. As Lysol tweeted, reminder, Lysol disinfectant and hygiene products should only be used as directed and in line with usage guidelines. Under no circumstances should our disinfectant products be administered into the human body through injection, ingestion, or any other route. And that was followed by a tweet from the Maryland Emergency Management Agency, which wrote, "Alert, we have received several calls regarding questions about disinfectant use and COVID-19. This is a reminder that under no circumstances should any disinfectant product be administered into the body through injection, ingestion, or any other route." I guess they didn't get the memo that it was all just a comedy routine by Trump. Now, two things have become clear here. The first is that this is the danger of having a president whose ego won't even allow him to admit that he was wrong while promoting injecting disinfectant into our bodies. All he had to say was, look, it came out wrong, do not inject disinfectant. But because he is physically incapable of admitting fault, he'd rather go on the defensive, dig in his heels, pretend that he was right and that the entire world and the video evidence was wrong, and ensure that the entire thing stays in the news and gets relitigated. Because what would Trump be doing if not covering for his unforced errors with a brand new wave of unforced errors? And the second is that the President of the United States is a clear and present danger to the American people. As if it wasn't bad enough that we have to contend with a deadly pandemic, it is only a matter of time before our already overburdened hospitals will have to deal with people poisoning themselves with Clorox at the direction of the President. And if you think I'm being facetious, consider that the last time Trump played doctor, an Arizona couple in their 60s heard Trump promote chloroquine, found chloroquine phosphate in their house, and ingested it. Chloroquine phosphate is a parasitic medication for fish, but because they heard the president on TV day in and day out praising this drug, they saw the word chloroquine on this product and took it. The man died and his wife was in critical condition. And no, chloroquine is not the same as chloroquine phosphate, but clearly not everyone knows that. And clearly, that is a risk you run when you have the President of the United States touting miracle cures on national television to millions of people who actually believe the utter nonsense that comes out of his mouth. And so I feel like the only responsible thing to say at this point is that if there are two things you should not do today, it's that you should not inject disinfectant into your body and you should not take any advice from the President of the United States.
That's what he said. The evidence is there of what he said. But, you know, we have a lot of people that would pretend that they didn't hear what he said or that's not what he meant. Kind of like, you know, Jedi mind tricks. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, you did not hear what he said. And then you come back, well, I didn't hear what he said. You know, he's playing games in your head. That's exactly what he said. He said that. As usual, people have to make excuses for him. And then there were reports about people drinking disinfectant and all that other kind of stuff, because when they hear stuff that he says, they do it. You know, and it goes back to, you know, common sense. A lot of people don't have it. And it's kind of too bad that you can't take medicine to get it. Because people, you know, it's easier to I don't know, believe what you want to believe. A lot of time people don't like things that require thinking. So when you have to think about something, it's like, that takes too much time. And that's what, you know, I say about these conspiracy theories, you know, that takes too much time to think. You know, and people nowadays don't have a lot of time to think, unfortunately. The next story. Actually, I didn't see this live. I kind of wish I did. But this is an interview that took place on CNN with the mayor of Las Vegas. And she is a Republican. And she's the mayor. She's a Republican. And Republicans are special. They are on a whole nother plane of thinking. They think different than we think. And this interview that she gave was just, and I'm getting to the point, you know, I can't talk to a lot of people like this myself, even though I try. I lose a lot of patience trying to talk to people like this chick here that you're going to hear in just a second. Even though I try to be open-minded, I try to hear both sides of a story. There's just some people that you just, I just can't talk to. I try, and I try to be open, you know, like I said, open-minded, and there are usually two sides to every story, but there are just some people that I just can't deal with. And this chick right here, either she was on the sauce, or it was just something wrong with this chick. Or something, I don't know, but once you hear this clip, it's like, what the hell is she talking about? I don't know. I couldn't tell you. So, let's listen to this.
You're talking about encouraging hundreds of thousands of people to come to Las Vegas.
Matt.
I get the financial losses people are suffering, which is awful, but you're encouraging, hundreds of thousands of people coming there in casinos, smoking, drinking, touching slot machines, breathing circulated air, and then returning home to states around America and countries around the world. Doesn't that sound like a virus petri dish? I mean, how is that safe?
No, what it sounds like, you're being an alarmist.
If you can't figure out how to do this safely, why, as mayor of a city that you were responsible for the people's safety, are you calling for something that you have no plan for how it would be done safely?
I am not a private owner. That's the competition in this country.
You said in another interview, you said, quote, let the businesses open. Competition will destroy that business if, in fact, they become evident they have a disease, they're closed down.
Oh, yeah.
It's that
simple.
Yes. Do you stand by that? Because it would take weeks, as I think you probably know, before anyone realized a place was a epicenter of viral infection. I mean, that it would take weeks for that would actually to show up. You're comfortable with that.
You're a very good interviewer. I've watched you for years, and you're wonderful. And I'm not going down that road. I am sticking with what I'm asking for. Please, our governor.
I'm focused on what you're saying, Madam Mayor, and what you're saying doesn't make sense.
You're trying to get me to say something. No, that's your opinion of what you think I'm saying, and I am being very clear.
Okay.
I think our governor has a great and a difficult job.
But you're saying competition.
You want
it to be like the free market. Everybody gets to go into these restaurants, and if it becomes a center for viral infection,
Anderson,
that the markets will decide?
Anderson, nope, we weren't broken.
That's what you said.
We weren't broken when we were closed down. And
you
yet
stand by what
us,
you said.
I think I had it. I
you said let the businesses open. Competition will destroy that business if, in fact, they get evidence they have a disease there. So that should happen.
Every one of those lives is a tragic loss. But when you count 150 versus 2.3 million, you have to say, we have to open up. We have to go back. Our bus drivers, our
But hasn't it been because of social distancing that the numbers have been what they are?
How do you know until we have a control group? We offer to be a control group. Anybody who knows anything about statistics knows that, for instance, you have a vaccine.
You're offering
the
citizens of Las Vegas to be a control group to see if your theory on social distancing
works or doesn't work. Wrong. Absolutely wrong. Don't put words in my mouth.
You just
said
we'll be a control group.
Excuse me. What I said was, I offered to be a control group, and I was told by our statistician, you can't do that because people from all parts of Southern Nevada come in to work in the city. And I said, oh, that's too bad, because I know when you have a disease, you have a placebo that gets the water and the sugar, and then you get those that actually get the shot. We would love to be that placebo side so you have something to measure against. So all
you,
the data and
you want to get the placebo. You don't want to get the actual.
The
group who gets the placebo, by the way, usually gets the short end of the stick.
Well, you don't know. How do you know when
Mayor,
you're in part of that
just,
group? You are.
Mayor, if casinos reopen, are you going to be inside those casinos every single night, putting your own life on the line?
I have lived in this town for 56
it's a question.
Years.
Are you going to go to casinos every night and put your life on the line
like all
the workers you say you were there holding
town,
their hands?
So they don't need it. We weren't broken. We tragically have 150 people we lost. Tragic. We have 2.3 million people here.
I haven't heard you say yes, that you would be sitting on those casino floors every night along with the people that you say you are holding their hands with.
What is the purpose of that? First of all, I have a family.
Because it would be putting your money,
where
your mouth is. Just let the business open. If it becomes a vector for viral infection and those people go back to their states and around the world, so be it.
It's a responsibility of each one of us as a human being and part of the civilized world to know when we're sick.
This is independent Las Vegas Mayor Carolyn Goodman calling for her city to be completely reopened, despite the fact that she has no plan in place whatsoever to ensure that that reopening would be done safely. It is an interview that left CNN's Anderson Cooper frustrated and perplexed and visibly upset. Although, to be honest, if Las Vegas was an interview, this would be it. She reiterates this point to Anderson Cooper that all businesses should just open up and let the invisible hand of the marketplace do its job. That if something goes wrong, just to allow competition to destroy that business. But this isn't just advocating for good old capitalism and letting the market work. This is allowing for these businesses to act as a petri dish for a deadly virus to spread to unknowing employees and customers, who will then bring it home to their friends and families, a number of whom can die. In other words, what happens in Vegas doesn't actually stay in Vegas. So no, this isn't the free market at work. This isn't the difference between a restaurant being good enough to stay open. It's the difference between the customers of that restaurant living or dying. And I think that the mayor of Las Vegas has a fundamental misunderstanding of her job if she thinks that her role is to put people in immediate danger during a global pandemic. It's not. It is first and foremost to make sure that people stay safe. And right now, the only way to do that is to stay inside. Goodman goes on to say that as human beings, we have a responsibility to just know when we're sick. Only the reason that this virus is so dangerous is because people don't know if they're asymptomatic. Couple that with the fact that we are woefully under-testing in this country, and it is a recipe for disaster. That is why our curve is still spiking. That is why our deaths are still surging. That is why our cases are still rising. So unless someone is capable of sensing molecular irregularities in their body without a diagnostic test, then I'm not exactly sure how Mayor Goodman expects people to be responsible and know when they're sick, when the whole danger of this virus is that people don't know when they're sick. By the way, it's pretty telling that Mayor Goodman refuses to say that she'll be on the floor of these casinos because, and I quote, she has a family. In other words, it seems to me like she's well aware of the risks that doing such a thing poses, but that we couldn't possibly expect her family to suffer from it. It's almost like the people who are calling the loudest for work to begin are also the least willing to directly participate in that same work. Consider, too, that the newest poll shows that only 14% of respondents believe that America should ease social distancing restrictions to restart the economy, while a staggering 76% said Americans should continue social distancing for as long as necessary. So while it's all well and good that Goodman is willing to send everyone else into the dangers of a global pandemic, the fact that she isn't willing to join them because she has a family kinda tells you everything you need to know. But the craziest part, bar none, is that Mayor Goodman apparently unilaterally volunteered her city to be the control group, referring to the group in clinical trials that gets no medicine and takes no safety measures and carries on normally. Also, that epidemiologists can compare that group to groups that actually do take steps to protect themselves. And I'm just gonna go out on a limb and assume that the people who she represents might not be over the moon about being declared the guinea pigs who get the privilege of being sent into slaughter because, God forbid, tourists can't watch the water show at the Bellagio. Here's the thing, too. There is no tourism right now. And the reason for that is because the curve isn't flattened. And the reason the curve isn't flattened is because people like Mayor Goodman are still out there advocating for people to go outside. And so we are stuck in this vicious cycle wherein the people most concerned with getting the economy back open are actually ensuring that it stays closed. If this woman could just, for a moment, act like an actual leader instead of a hedge fund manager, she might realize that the way to reopen the economy fast is to all work together, to advocate for strong, strict mitigation measures so that we can finally flatten the curve and actually go back to normal. It always, miraculously, seems to be the people screaming the loudest to open the economy who are making it the most difficult to do so. So if the people of Las Vegas truly want to go back to work, I'd recommend staying inside so that we stop prolonging the duration of a lethal virus. And maybe in 2023, consider voting for a mayor who values your safety over money.
See, that's the thing. I'm not an expert in this. I mean, I'm an expert in a lot of other things, but the medical stuff is not one of them. It seems like this virus, in order for it to work, it jumps from people to people. If you don't have a lot of people around, then it can't get people sick. And if it can't get people sick, then it keeps the rest of us safe, and then we have no curve, and then we can try to go back to normal. But we can't because, you know, people like this. And this is going on, you know, all over the place. The people in charge want to go back to work, which is all fine and good. But if you're sick, and if you're dead, then you can't go back to work. So what is the, you know, and you know, there's no, you know, there's no need to argue about it because it's going to go back and forth and everything and blah blah blah. I mean, it's just from what I see when I look at this, it's to me it seems better if we just, you know, try to follow the rules and, you know, because I know everybody's situation is different. But, you know, like I said, in these cases, I would rather listen to experts that are medical experts. I'm not a medical expert, so I have no idea. But they know a whole lot more about this than I do. Try to stay away from other people, and, you know. And that's why I don't go out as much as I used to. Excuse me. Don't go out as much as I used to that I wear a mask, I wash my hands, and all this kind of, and then you actually have people running around talking about this is fake. You know, these are the same dumbass people, you know, with the conspiracy theories and all this other kind of bullshit. You know, tell that stuff to the people that are dead. Tell that to somebody's relative, you know, somebody that lost a relative, and tell them that this is fake. Last time I checked, dead people don't come back to life. So if you got a relative that has died from this stuff, you gonna sit there and tell somebody that it's fake? You know, if you get your ass beat for telling somebody that this stuff is fake, then you deserve to get your ass beat. You know, you're going to get up in somebody's face and tell them that it's fake, and they just lost a grandma or a grandpa or uncle, aunt, cousin, or something like that. You're going to sit there and say that this is fake? Matter of fact, I forgot to do that. Before I came on, I should have checked the numbers. I'll do that next week. I forgot all about that. Should have checked the numbers. Go to Johns Hopkins on their website. They have a map, just a map that we should use at work, and it's got a map of it. It's got a world map, and pretty much most of the map is covered in red. There are some countries that don't have any cases. There are countries in Africa that don't have any cases at all, or very small cases. Greenland. I think Greenland doesn't have. Well, nobody lives in Greenland, but there are some countries that don't have any cases. And I forgot to check those stats before I came on. I knew it was something I was forgetting to do. But to tell somebody that, you know, that this is fake, you know, only in America could people do some stupid stuff like that. But, you know, we see it every day. See how much time we got left. Okay, we got about 40 minutes. Okay. Let's go to the next clip. So I've got one clip to play, and it's kind of long, so we're just going to keep on cruising here. This next story is talking about people with cow shit for brains. This one we're talking about, you know, what's the deal with these protests that are going on, that, you know, about trying to get everybody back to work without doing, you know, proper, you know, trying to make sure everything is safe before we send people back to work. And like I said earlier, we had a march downtown Raleigh this afternoon that people are, you know, these are the same people that whenever black or brown people decide they want to get out and protest about something, all of a sudden, you know, they need to have their asses at work. You know, look at them lazy bums. You know, take your asses to work, blah, blah, blah. But we got these people, and nobody says anything to them. And here's another instance where I would rather listen to doctors that know more about this than I do, whether or not it's safe to go back to work. Because it won't make a whole lot of sense of sending people back to work, and then they turn around and get sick, and then you're doing the same thing right all over again. So you're talking about doing this for the entire year of 2020. And in a couple of days, it's going to be May. So we're in the fifth month. And if we, you know, get this stuff open back too soon and people end up getting sick, and then we get right back where we started from. So we're going to spend the whole year of 2020 not locked up, but in the house, not able to work. Some people not able to work. You know, so here we go. Let's jump into this.
Just a few hours ago, there was easily 1,000 people standing on the steps of the Capitol, shoulder to shoulder, not wearing masks, protesting the State House here to talk about how they want to reopen the economy. One car that just drove by that I saw had a sign along the window that says the COVID-19 emergency is over, reopen Pennsylvania. But the State Health Department very strongly advocating against that as we're seeing an uptick in cases.
Only 12% of Americans think it is not likely that there would be a surge in COVID-19 infections if everyone in America suddenly went back to work tomorrow. From that 12%, there has sprung up a tiny, and I mean tiny, band of protesters who represent just a very, very tiny fraction of 1% of the population, way, way, way less than 1% of the population, a few thousand people across the country at most in a country of 330 million people.
They've taken something and blown it so far out of proportion that it's destroying our country.
The president's policy says you can't start to reopen under his plan until you have declining numbers for 14 days, which those states and my state do not have. So then to encourage people to go protest the plan that you just made recommendations on Thursday, it just doesn't make any sense.
Yesterday in Denver, Colorado, this is what happened when a nurse stood at an intersection to block protesters to remind people of the human toll of all this. Go to China. The entire phenomenon seems reverse engineered to solve a very obvious political problem, which is this. The country right now is going through literally unprecedented economic devastation and misery and mass death at a scale that's impossible to contemplate, while the conservative base's beloved leader is at the helm of all of it. So there's got to be someone else to blame.
There's a reason why these governors are saying what they're saying and why they've put in place, yes, strong, and some would even say draconian measures, but it is to protect families and communities and to save lives. They're not acting out of some governmental malice or some desire to, have people lose their jobs. That's the last thing they want.
I was talking with the mother earlier of four who was out here with her kids. She said that she and her kids are still going to the grocery store with no masks on. Back over here, we're trying to keep some distance away, but over there, you have at least 200 folks that are all standing right next to each other at this time. Over here to our left, too, I was just talking with the gentleman and whether he was actually concerned about spreading COVID-19. And he was telling me that he believes that it is being overblown and overhyped, the number of cases, that is, suggesting that hospitals are using heart-related deaths or cancer-related deaths to add to those COVID-19 numbers as a way of shutting down business. I said, what about President Trump, though, calling for social distancing, which the folks here are not doing, frankly, Brian? And he told me that it is rhinos. It is folks like Dr. Fauci and Dr. Burt that are getting the best of President Trump right now.
Look, if you're going out and thinking about protesting, I want you to think about this. If you don't care about infecting yourself, understand that your police, your fire and rescue have better things to do than to babysit you because you're angry that you can't go out for an ice cream or get your hair done. So think about who you're exposing. Secondly, where this is all headed, the president has linked this stay-at-home issue to the Second Amendment. Remember that tweet in Virginia? Liberate Virginia. Mm-hmm. Your Second Amendment is under siege. That's going to motivate the crazies amongst us to do some very ugly things, and law enforcement's got to hunker down for that.
You know, most of these Facebook events, we tracked, more than 75 of them across the country, started popping up on April 10th. So the question is, what was happening in right-wing media before April 10th? And some of the most highly trafficked videos on the 9th and a few days before him, but on the 9th in particular, was Tucker Carlson and other Fox News segments calling for an end to the national lockdown, making an impassioned plea about liberty. And it's an important point because one of the things that took place in those few days before you started to see these events beginning to pop up was that Fox News stopped making the argument. I mean, they were still saying it, but originally they were saying we have to be willing to sacrifice grandma and grandpa for the sake of the economy. But they made a switch. And, starting on April 7th, April 8th, April 9th, they started saying that it's not about the economy, it's about liberty and freedom. And that's why we need to end these national lockdowns. And immediately after is when you started to see these things popping up.
That's the space that we oftentimes, Andrea, look to a president to give us clarity, to give us a sense of purpose, and to say to the American people, yeah, this is going to be tough, but I'm going to need y'all to stay home for a little bit, all right? We're going to work with the governors to get this right. We're going to give them the resources they need. We're going to give them the tests they need so that they can help you get back to work. But that's not what this president has done. Instead, he stands up and goes, well, I see more American flags out there, and that's a great thing. These people want to go to work. Yes, go to work and die? Go to work and get sick? What is the point of that?
Yeah, I mean, that's basically what you're saying. Why go to work and, you know, I think a lot of stuff just trying to make some kind of point. You know, this has got nothing to do with freedom and all that other kind of bullshit. This is about safety. This is about, this is a sickness, and it's killing people. It's killing people. And I guess you have to, you know, have it affect you before you understand it. As a matter of fact, I think somebody in my family has and I hadn't confirmed it yet, but I think somebody in my family came down with it and died. So, you know, so there's no way I'm going to sit here and say that it's fake, because it's not fake. Because when these people are dead, they're not coming back. And for people to sit there and call this sickness fake, it's just full of shit. And they need to get a foot up their ass, to be honest with you. Because this is serious. You know, people are dying from this. This ain't no joke. We don't have a vaccine yet. Hopefully we'll get one, but we don't have a vaccine yet. This is not like the common flu. And people die from the flu. But not in these numbers. I mean, I think we're about to hit 1 million or something like that. That's why I should have checked the numbers before I came on. I forgot. We're about to hit a whole lot of people dying from this mess. So this is not some fake mess that's been bought up just to, you know, usually when people can't explain something, they have to go to stupid excuses to try to make, you know, try to make a point. In this next clip, and this is the longest, this is the clip about 20 minutes, and we've got about 30 minutes left, so I'm going to try to hurry up. And I meant to edit this clip, but I forgot all about it. This is a clip from Roland Martin talking to Tim White. And I like Tim White because he's a whole lot smarter than I am. And he's talking about the way that the certain people are acting in this crisis, which is, you know, unbelievable. But it is what it is. Like I said, this is almost a 20 minute clip. So I'm going to go ahead and jump into it because we're almost toward the end of the show. So I'm going to go ahead and jump in it. So in this clip, and I meant to edit this part out, you know, it's a Roland Martin clip, so he's trying to get people to buy his thing or whatever. So just ignore that part and just listen to the main part of the story.
You want to support Roland Martin Unfiltered? Be sure to join our Bring the Funk fan club. Every dollar that you give to us supports our daily digital show. There's only one daily digital show out here that keeps it black and keep it real as Roland Martin Unfiltered. Support the Roland Martin Unfiltered daily digital show by going to RolandMartinUnfiltered.com. Our goal is to get 20,000 of our fans contributing $50 each for the whole year. You can make this possible. RolandMartinUnfiltered.com.
Okay, folks, white people are losing their damn minds. They're losing their minds. Y'all see all these dumbasses running around these states, sitting here protesting, pulling their guns out, Confederate flag, talking about we need to get back, open these states, damn it. I don't know what's wrong with these people, as if we do not have a major pandemic that's actually going on. Now, joining right now to talk about his latest article for Medium.com, Pandemicking While White, is anti-racism educator Tim Wise. Tim, glad to have you on Roland Martin Unfiltered.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me.
All right. So what's up? Pandemicking while white. Explain.
I just love that I'm the white person explainer for the show. I love that.
Yeah. Well, you know, look, when I was on CNN, I was the black explainer.
I know white people. So let me sort of walk you through it. I think there are a few things, right? Number one, is, as I talk about in the piece, that, you know, when you are and have been essentially the privileged and dominant group, and you really don't face oppression, and you really don't face systemic injustice, I'm not saying white folks don't have challenges, but don't face oppression, yeah, I guess it becomes very easy for you to think that a stay-at-home order, and it's not even an order in most places, it's a, you know, strong recommendation, that is somehow tyranny, right? That's the heavy hand of the state, totalitarianism, fascism. That's a real privileged mentality, right? Black and brown folks know that tyranny looks a little different than that. Tyranny is getting, you know, shot John Crawford in the Walmart. Tyranny is Tamir Rice being shot in the park in Cleveland. Tyranny is police brutality and racial profiling, children in cages, deportations. But when you're white, apparently, when you look at some of these protests in Michigan and Ohio, et cetera, and you have folks standing out there with signs, not ironic signs, but legit signs that say, I want a haircut, or talking about, you know, I want to be able to get seeds to plant flowers in my garden because it's spring and Governor Whitmer is making where I can't do that. If you think that that's oppression, right, your life is awfully sweet. So it's a very interesting insight into the way privilege functions, even in the midst of a pandemic, when millions of white folks are getting sick and thousands have died, but we still have the privilege of thinking that this lockdown, which is about protecting lives, is tyranny. So you had Stephen Moore, the economist and Trump ally, who said that these protesters are the modern day Rosa Parks, right?
Comparing
to protesting orders to try to keep people alive. It's fascinating.
In fact, I'm trying to pull that up right now because, first of all, we know how much of a joke Stephen Miller is. And so let me go ahead and see if I can pull this up. Folks, go to my iPad, please. So what Tim is talking about, Stephen Moore, economist, he gave numerous interviews last week, and this is what he had to say.
You know, we're going to see a lot more of those. In Ohio, we saw more protests today. I'm working with a group in Wisconsin that wants to do a drive-in. So, you know, you remember the old sit-ins, but this is going to be a drive-in. They're going to shut down the Capitol. Shh, don't tell anybody. But they think they can get 1,500 people to come in. And this is great. You guys will. So we have one big donor in Wisconsin. I'm not going to mention his name. And I told him about this. He said, Steve, I promise I will pay the bail and legal fees for anyone who gets arrested. So this is a great time, gentlemen and ladies, for civil disobedience. We need to be the Rosa Parks here and protest against these government injustices.
Tim, really? We need to be like Rosa Parks? Really?
Well, it's like I said in the piece, you know, it's very hard to top that. But the whiteness Olympics, look, they never get canceled, Roland. It's not like the Olympics 2020. The whiteness Olympics are always going, and there's always competition for gold. And so about a day or two after that interview that Stephen Moore gave, there was a state lawmaker in Idaho, who I mentioned in the piece, who is from, like, she's a Republican from Uzbekistan, clearly Idaho, that portion of the state. And she made the comment that, you know, when you say certain jobs are non-essential, that's just like Nazi Germany. When they said people were non-essential, they put them on trains, as if those of us who want to shelter in place are advocating that we take, you know, all the people in the vape shops and the Pilates studios and send them to Auschwitz. I mean, it's just such an incredible lack of perspective, which again speaks to the relatively privileged position that white folks are coming from. It's the same as the Tea Party stuff. These were folks, a lot of them the same people, who a decade ago were protesting affordable health care because they didn't want to get health care from the black guy, and they didn't want to get health care if they were going to be on the same program that some black folks might be on. So they would rather die. And they made that rather clear. And they were, and at that time, if you'll recall, what's fascinating, they were out there saying, well, we're against Obamacare because, you know, they're going to let old people die because it'll be too costly to keep them alive. But they're now saying that we need to let old people die so we can get the economy back up. So, I mean, as I said in the piece, America is on some white stuff. I didn't say stuff in the piece, but America is on some white stuff. And
yeah,
it's,
yeah, I remember, Tim, my show's called Unfiltered. We're good.
Oh, it's some white. We're on some white shit, Ben. We're on some white shit. And these protests are a good example of that, of the dangers of whiteness, not just to people of color, which folks of color know. I'm talking about the dangers of whiteness to these white people. You got a guy in Ohio that was one of the main guys writing about, talking about, this is all a hoax, it's all BS, Governor DeWine, all these people are overreacting, and he died.
Right, his
and
ass
he's
dead.
He's not the only one.
One of the first guys, preacher, I think it was in Wyoming, his ass dead. There was a fool in Louisiana, Shreveport, his ass dead. And I'm sitting there going, y'all, matter of fact, it was a person. In fact, there was some white woman, I wish I could find the tweet, but some white woman was losing her mind on Facebook. And then this is just a joke. Don't believe this. big-time Trump supporter. Then a few days later, her family posed a GoFundMe to pay for her funeral expenses because she's dead.
Right. And what's sad about this is we're being given this false choice. You know, you either go back to work and risk your life, or you stay at home and the economy crashes. There are other ways of doing this. We could, if we really cared about people as opposed to our economic orthodoxy that white conservatives in particular are so bought into, we could do something different. Denmark right now is paying people the equivalent of $50,000 US dollars per person to just stay home, stay healthy, and then shut the economy down until this thing is done. But in this country, we are so slavishly devoted to the idea of the unfettered free market and hyper-capitalism that the idea is, no, we got to go back to work. We got to go back to work. And there is another alternative here that we're just not wanting to investigate. And the people who are running this thing clearly, are more concerned and willing to embrace a eugenic mentality that says certain people are disposable. The rally here in Tennessee, where I live, yesterday or 2 days ago, there's a woman with a sign that says, "Sacrifice the weak, reopen Tennessee." I mean, that's the kind of thing that if someone on the left or someone of color were ever to have a sign that said something like that, or to show up at the Capitol with guns strapped to the teeth, as these folks in Michigan did, we know what would happen to them. We know how they would be viewed. They would not be viewed as patriotic, liberty-loving Americans. They would be viewed as insurrectionaries. They would be arrested. They would be shot. They would be gassed. And the president wouldn't be signal boosting them on Twitter. So this is about a soft civil war, as people have talked about. This is about attempting to use mass death as a wedge issue in a culture war that this president wants to wage on behalf of whiteness. And that's what this is.
And that's exactly what you're dealing with. You're dealing with somebody who is trying to gin up his white base. I got to read this comment. I got to get your thoughts when you talk about the craziness of whiteness. You have... from my home state, one of the most idiotic, asinine individuals. Look, I keep saying that the three dumbest governors are Brian Kemp of Georgia, Ron DeSantis of Florida, and Tate Reeves of Mississippi. The fighting those three for dumbest elected official is Dan Patrick, okay? A crazy, deranged right winger. I used to debate Dan when he was a conservative radio talk show host on the NBC affiliate. He is, I would dare say, 100 times crazier. This is what this fool said last night on Tucker Carlson's show. When he was talking about, some of us should accept dying for the future of our kids. He said, quote, "What I said when I was with you that night," go to my iPad, Henry, "there are more important things than living. And that is saving this country for my children and my grandchildren and saving this country for all of us. I don't want to die. Nobody wants to die. But we've got to take some risk and get back in the game and get this country back up and running." Okay, but I'm going to deal with this quote. Tim, there are more important things than living.
Right. Right. Well, let's just be very clear. It's only because it's because of the lives that are mostly at risk that he says that. I said this last week on Twitter. If COVID-19 was affecting disproportionately white, disproportionately, healthy, disproportionately prime of life, disproportionately evangelical Christian folks, for some reason, let's say this virus had a thing out for white folks or evangelical white Christians or whatever. If it was killing, or if it was just even killing disproportionately people in the prime of their lives, the way, for instance, the 1918 flu did, it was a weird thing. It actually affected young people more than old people. If COVID was doing that, none of these people who are saying, sacrifices have to be made and maybe some folks have to die, but it's the American way, they wouldn't be saying that. The reason that Patrick and others are willing to say that is precisely because the people who were disproportionately affected are working class and people of color and people who were already sick. So this is the eugenic mentality of, historically of all fascists. It's the eugenic mentality that animated this country in the late 1800s, early 1900s, from which Hitler borrowed. It's that same mentality. There's certain life worth living, and we will protect them at all costs. But others, well, they're marginal and they can be sacrificed. That's the only reason he's saying that. If this was disproportionately affecting people like him or younger than him, his, you know, people in their 30s, let's say, or 40s who were white and middle class or above, he would never say that. And these folks wouldn't be out protesting at state capitals with guns.
And also, I take it that you certainly agree that Donald Trump, he needs aggrieved, angry, we have no idea what's going on with white folks in order for him to beat Joe Biden in November.
Yeah, it's the only hope that he has. And it's a calculated gamble on his part, because if things get opened back up and there's a huge uptick in illnesses, obviously a lot of that is going to hurt him politically. But he probably figures, well, I got no choice. My economy is in the tank now. The only thing I can do is take the chance. And if people die, I'll try to blame the governors. I mean, but this is all about his politics. This is about a guy and about a movement that has, as we've been saying, lots of us for a while, but it's more and more evident, it is a death cult. It is people that are willing to drink the Kool-Aid, just like folks with Jim Jones, walk off the cliff like lemmings on behalf of their dear leader. There's no philosophy behind this. Look at the signs at these rallies. They're all over the place. You got anti-vaxxers. You got the QAnon nut jobs. You got the people that just, you know, Jesus is my vaccine. You got people that have signs about every possible cause under the sun. There's no coherent philosophy. The coherent philosophy here is this conspiratorial, they're all out to get Donald Trump and we must support him. This is cult behavior, and we don't have any obligation to be respectful to these people, to talk nicely about them. Our only obligation is to defeat them mercilessly every time we get the chance.
Tim Wise, we certainly appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
You bet, man. Thank you.
Okay. We've got one more clip to go. It's a short one, and we're almost toward the end of the program. But I do want to make sure I get all this information in. It's just, you know, they bring up points in that clip about what's going on now. I don't even know where to begin. It's just, you know, we've got this situation going on. Matter of fact, you know, I remember when all this started happening, like, you know, a lot of you probably, you know, remember all this started happening too. I mean, we're going into May. This stuff happened back in November, late November, December. And then it just, you know, it just spread. Matter of fact, at my job, we've got that map. If you go to Johns Hopkins, if you go to the Johns Hopkins website of the world, they have stats. They have a map. They have stats. And every country in the world that's infected by this disease is represented by the color red. And when we first got that map, when this first started happening, and we put the map up on one of the big screens at work, you know, China was a dot. It was a red dot where all this started happening. And every day you go to work, you know, the dot got bigger and bigger and bigger and redder and redder. And then it started spreading to the west. And then it just got redder. And it was like a red ink spot. It just started spreading. It just started spreading west. And then not too long ago, you know, northern Italy got popped real good. And it just started creeping this way, you know. Just started coming and coming and coming. And we were warned. We were warned ahead of time. We had things that were put into place that would help stop this stuff. I mean, there were safeguards already put in. But your knowing all, seeing all president decided to do the total opposite. And so now that's where we are right now. You know, instead of, he called it a Democratic hoax, and instead of helping everybody in the country, because you're supposed to be in charge of the entire country, he only helps out certain people. And that's just the way he is. I've said it before and I'll say it again, he is probably the dumbest president we ever had next to Bush. And I thought Bush was dumb. Bush has got nothing on this guy. This guy's just all day stupid. And if you're a fan of his and don't like him, I can't help you. I really don't know what to tell you.
I try to call it like I see it. Now, this next clip, this is the very last clip. And look like we're gonna finish on time, which is good. This is from a boy, D.L. Hughley. I like D.L. He's a funny guy. And I used to listen to his show every day when I worked first shift, getting off first shift. Now I listen to it every now and again, but usually when it's on, I'm usually, because I work night shift. But D.L., you know, this guy, he is very smart. His takes on things are just, on subjects are just off the chain. And I found this one. Don't know what day last week he said it, but it's a real good one. So this is the last clip, so let's play it.
Dave Lodge, my life. So over the weekend, the New York Times posted a devastating timeline that shows the inaction that led to so much upheaval and damage into our economy and loss of lives. It chronicled Donald Trump's reticence or inability to function properly to make sure that the American people were safe. And rather than respond to that, he said he did everything perfect. Even in the best of circumstances, you look back as a normal human being and you look back and you admit what you could have done better. Now, no situation is perfect. And I've said this ad nauseum. He is not to blame for this pandemic, but he is to blame for all of the upheaval and a lot of the damage that has gone on with it. It is not the first time that a virus has threatened our shores. It's not the first time a virus has threatened the world. It is the first time it's gotten out of control like this. Matter of fact, Peter Navarro was on 60 Minutes, and he pressed the reporter, the Bush administration or the Obama administration any questions like this, and they went on and had the receipts and showed that they'd done it. The difference between this crisis and what happened with H1N1 is simply leadership. America decided that it wanted to do everything Obama had done, including care about its citizens and its population. Right now, Trump is in the midst of doing what's best for him. Right now, he's angry with who, and so he's decided to cut funding, which is exactly what he did to the Ukraine, which was just as illegal now as it was then, but he's running roughshod over the law. He's mad at the post office, so he's decided that he's going to... Well, how could the post office survive every single thing? Wars, civil wars, world wars, famines, dust bowls. It can survive everything but the Trump administration. Rain, sleet, or snow, ain't got a damn thing on this administration. And now he's haired up the payments for as many Americans, millions of Americans, to put his name on them. Now, it seems to me that a leader takes blame as well as credit. And all he's determined to do is take all of the credit and none of the blame. And I said this earlier, in the best of circumstances, in the most optimum of circumstances, there are many things that you can't anticipate that go wrong, and all you can do is manage your way through them. So Donald Trump wants credit. He wants to put his name on all of the checks that America is going to be receiving as if he is responsible for them. And I will grant him that. You can be responsible. You can say, you know what, you are responsible for these people, for these millions of Americans getting these checks. You can have the credit, but you can't have credit without blame. If you insist on putting your name on every single one of these checks, you should have to put your name on these thousands of death certificates, too. There's enough to go around. If you want to take the credit, you have to be willing to take some of the blame. And there are thousands of people who are dead because of your inactivity and your action, because of your incompetence, because of your fear and your petty-mindedness. So if you want to take the credit, you damn sure get a little bit of blame. You can have your name on every single check that you send out. Also, put it on a couple of those death certificates. That's a little note from the GED section. We got the Jazz Report coming up in 15 minutes.
Okay. So that's the last clip from DL. So we're going to tie this show up. Like I said, I'm heading on out to work. What I'll try to do is, if I keep doing shows like this, I'll try to set up a section where I can get the phone calls in, so I'll have enough time to talk and answer the questions or comments or whatever like that. Like I said, this is the first time in this concept, so this is a test run to see how this works. And it looks like I've got a few minutes open, but it's pretty close to the edge, so I'll have to come up with an idea. But we'll see how this goes. I think it's going to go all right. Because I think right now, with everything that's going on, I think information is it's what is important, because everybody needs information. Nobody wants to try to go at this and don't know what's happening, because there are people, unfortunately, that don't watch the news. There are people, unfortunately, that don't keep up with what's going on around them. So there's got to be somebody else that can do it. So I guess that'll be me. So so we'll try this again next week. Looks like it's going to work. So we'll try this again next week with more clips and more news from this week. So today is only Tuesday, so we've got a few days left. So we'll see what happens this week, and I'll get it to you. Try to, well, no, this is next week, so Yeah, whatever. So I'll try to get it to you next week. So that's it. I'm out. Get ready to make this drive. Thanks for listening. I will see you next week. Peace out.